Hello and welcome to this Advent reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing with our Advent series, but before we get to that, it's time to light our Advent candles. When we think about Advent, we think about Jesus as light coming into the world. And as he comes, he brings us hope, peace, and joy. And so we're going to be lighting 3 candles this week to represent hope, peace, and joy. Lord, we thank you that you came into this world bringing us light. And Lord, as we recognise how wonderful you are, we thank you for bringing us hope, for giving us not just a vague, undefined hope, but a certain hope. We thank you that you bring us peace. Not just an absence of war, but a complete contentment and wholeness. And Lord, we thank you that we find joy in you, no matter our circumstances, because we know that you are Emmanuel, God with us. So in this we pray. Amen. So we continue our Advent series, in which we are looking at the women of the Nativity, guided by this book by Paula Gooder, Women of the Nativity, An Advent and Christmas Journey in 9 Stories. Last week we were reminded that the story of Christmas didn't start with Mary and Joseph, or even Zechariah and Elizabeth. But it's a story that has been told throughout history, as we can see God's promise of salvation was given long before Jesus came to earth. And so last week we saw how God keeps his promises even when it seems impossible, as we looked at the story of Abraham and Sarah as they waited for the promised son that God gave them when they were in their old age. Now this week we zoom forward thousands of years to a story that has many echoes with that of Abraham and Sarah. We turn our attentions to the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth, another couple who were childless, and yet God blessed them with their son in their later ages, who would have a great destiny to prepare the way for the Messiah. And so this week, as we light the third candle that represents joy, we see how there is so much unexpected joy in the Christmas story. So let's read from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When the time of his service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favour and taken away my disgrace among the people." So Luke begins his narrative of the nativity story by telling us of a couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Both Zechariah and Elizabeth came from good heritage, with Zechariah belonging to the priestly division of Abijah, and Elizabeth's lineage being traced all the way back to Aaron. They were a couple who, if not for their childlessness, would have been in good standing and status among the community. In Paula Gooder's book, she refers to them as a golden couple, due to the fact that these two ancient families united, families with great historical significance in how God used their ancestors to carry out his work. It would have been expected, therefore, that God would bless this couple with many children to carry on such eminent legacies. But this expected joy would lead to disappointment. The human plans and expectations for a child to be conceived shortly after the marriage did not happen. And it would soon become apparent that there were no children coming as month after month and year after year passed by and Elizabeth did not fall pregnant. This is a painful time for anyone wishing to have children. But this was particularly difficult for Zechariah and Elizabeth because they didn't just have to deal with the heartbreak and the emotional pain of involuntary childlessness. In Jewish culture of the time, children were seen as a blessing from God, a sign of his favour resting upon the couple. And therefore, barrenness was considered a curse and seen as evidence that God was angry at someone. So Elizabeth's childlessness would be considered proof that there was some kind of hidden sin that God was punishing her for. But Luke is keen to emphasise to us that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. He wants it to be clear that they were not childless due to any hidden sin or any punishment from God, but so that when his miracle did arrive, it may be obvious that God was working. Rabbinic law stated that if a marriage did not produce any children after 10 years, then the husband may divorce his wife and remarry so to do his duty to procreate. This means that Elizabeth's childlessness had implications for her relationship status, as had Zechariah been so inclined, he could have divorced her to marry another. And if he had done this, Elizabeth would have suffered many economic problems, as women didn't have many rights during that time and were expected to be provided for by men. So Elizabeth and Zechariah's expected joy turned to disappointment and bitter despair until they felt like all hope was lost of ever having a child. Let us hear how Elizabeth may have experienced this, as I give my own interpretation of what she might have felt. My monologue has been influenced by Paula Gooder's, and I recommend you read her work in her book. But this is my influence, my interpretation. When we got married, it was a time of joy and jubilation. In our village, we were seen as the golden couple, as God's favoured ones, because we were both descended from priestly lines. Zechariah was descended from the line of Abijah, and my own family could be traced all the way back to Aaron. Zechariah had begun to serve in his priestly duties, which included going to the temple twice a year, where lots would be taken to see who would go serve in the temple of the Lord to burn incense before God. All of this made us pretty well regarded in the community, or at least it did back then. But then the months passed and the years went on, and I remained childless. All my hopes and dreams of many children filling my house with laughter and joy faded away bit by bit. And of course, with each passing month, the stares grew and turned into whispers behind my back, which grew into mocking laughter and insults thinly veiled as concerned questions. I tried to stay composed and aloof in front of them all, pretending that the comments, the sneers and the laughter didn't bother me, the way they crossed over to avoid passing me as if my barrenness was infectious. I acted as if I was above it all. But in the privacy of my own home, I sobbed. I cried and I yelled out my pain. Why was God cursing me? Countless days and nights I screamed my disappointments, doubts and despair to God. I begged and pleaded that he would have mercy on me. I used to wonder if my cries ever even reached his ears. It's hard when we think that God isn't listening to us, and we might find ourselves feeling like Elizabeth, wondering if our cries ever reach God's ears. But God does listen, and we get such joy when we have a prayer answered. And that is exactly what happened for Zechariah and Elizabeth. We see that Zechariah and Elizabeth experienced a number of unexpected joys that would lead them eventually to gaining the most amazing joy of their lives. So as I mentioned, Zechariah was a priest and he performed various religious duties. These duties included two 1-week periods every year where priests would go serve in the temple. During this time, lots would be cast to determine who would have the privilege to go and offer incense in the holy place. This would occur only once in a priest's life. On this occasion, the lot falls upon Zechariah, who goes in to do his priestly duty. But once inside, he finds he's not alone as he had expected. Instead, he was met with an unexpected meeting with an angel. Understandably, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. I think we all would be if we suddenly met with an angel. But then the angel gives him a message that I imagine would have stunned Zechariah. It is certainly a message that Zechariah had difficulty believing. The angel tells him that your prayer has been heard. This can literally be translated to mean the prayer was heard and is heard. I think this is a beautiful statement as it reminds us that when we offer a prayer to God, it is not just sent up into the sky and then forgotten about. Sometimes when we pray to God and a long time goes by and nothing happens, we find ourselves wondering if God has forgotten us or if he's forgotten the prayer that we prayed. But God doesn't forget. When we pray, our prayers are heard in the moment and they continue to be heard by God. This is one of the miracles that we get to celebrate, We have an amazing God who hears, who listens to our prayers. And so the angel continues, just in case Zechariah wonders which of his prayers had been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Their heart's longing would finally be complete. They would have a child, and their shame and disgrace would be vindicated. What joyous news! This child would certainly be a joy and delight to them, and would also bring joy and rejoicing to others as well. Can you imagine Elizabeth's reaction when Zechariah made it back home? She had probably given up praying, likely begun wondering if God ever heard any of her prayers or ever cared about her pain. But then Zechariah returns to her. Let us stop and consider how she might have reacted. I had wondered if God ever heard my cries. But I don't wonder anymore, not since Zechariah came back from the temple. Zechariah went to the temple for the lots to be cast, to determine who would offer the incense, like he had so many times before. But this time, the lot fell upon him. Zechariah went into the holy place, expecting to be alone when he did his priestly duties. So, of course, he got the shock of his life when there was someone waiting for him. An angel. Of course Zechariah was terrified. Who wouldn't be? But the angel told him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Those prayers that we had prayed long ago and had given up on, the angel said that the prayer was heard and is being heard. God had heard and is still hearing my cries. It seems so unbelievable, but yet it's true. The angel told Zechariah, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." When Zechariah came out of the temple, he couldn't speak. The angel had struck him mute because he doubted the message. To be honest, I'm surprised that I also haven't been struck mute. I certainly doubted Zechariah when he came and wrote to tell me what had happened. I believe him now, of course. This is so amazing and unexpected. I am barren, or at least I was. And I'm old now, and yet I will have a child. I cannot take this all in, but it is finally hitting me that this is really happening. And I cannot help but praise God for this amazing, unexpected joy. He has done this amazing thing for me. He has shown me his favour and finally taken away my disgrace among the people. So Zechariah and Elizabeth experienced unexpected joy because God had indeed heard their prayer. But there was even more unexpected joy because not only had their prayer for a child been heard, but God was going to be powerfully at work in their son from before he was even born. The angel went on to speak to Zechariah about the future of their as yet unborn son. Their son, their precious child, would be great in the sight of the Lord. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit before he was even born. This would have been particularly amazing to Zechariah and Elizabeth, because up to this point, the Holy Spirit had only rested on people for short periods of time to achieve certain things, and then he would leave that person. But now these soon-to-be parents are being told that the Holy Spirit was going to live in John in a way that had never been seen before. John was going to be given the Spirit and the power of Elijah, and this boy, this child of theirs, would bring back many to the Lord their God. He was going to be God's messenger, God's prophet, turning people's hearts back to God. He would be among the greats of the prophets of old. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he was going to prepare the way for the Messiah. This was the most amazing news, because the Jews had been hoping and praying for the Messiah for millennia. And finally, here was confirmation that the Messiah was coming, and their son would help herald his coming. So Zechariah and Elizabeth experienced great joy from God. But to paraphrase a famous quote used in Star Wars, with great joy comes great responsibility. God bless Zechariah and Elizabeth mightily. But God doesn't just give blessing so that we can revel in them or show how great we are. The blessings he gives also come with great responsibilities. This is something that Zechariah and Elizabeth certainly came to realise. So, because suddenly they were about to become parents to a man with an amazing destiny. They would have to raise this boy to understand and love God, and to accept the role that he had been given before he was even born. So let's again return to Elizabeth and see what she thinks of it all. Who will my child be? The angel told Zechariah that this child is to be called John. But we do not have anyone named John in either of our family lines. Giving him the name John is against tradition. But this is the name we are to give the child, so we will do it. We've been told that my son, my John, will lead people back to God, that he will even prepare the way for the Messiah. This is amazing, of course, and I am so excited and happy, but I'm also scared. What if I mess it up? What if I can't do it and John grows up rejecting everything we teach him? How do I teach him about how to become this man that the angel told us he'd be? I mean, I've even got to make sure he doesn't drink any wine or fermented drink. That's going to be a struggle when he's older. There is just so much I've got to think about. And all this, when I'm already so old, how am I going to manage this? Well, I suppose I'm not doing it on my own. The Holy Spirit will be in John, and God will guide us, but I'm just so scared. All new parents have fears about how they will raise their child, their hopes that they will do the right thing, and worries about doing something wrong. How much more must Zechariah and Elizabeth have worried about how they would bring John up? And yet God had promised that he would be with them, and that John would be led by the Holy Spirit, so they would have to put their faith and trust in God and follow him. What joys, expected or unexpected, has God blessed you with? And what responsibilities come with those joys? How do you use those joys to bless others? How can you share the joys that God gives with those around you so that others can be pointed towards God and want to worship him too? At this time of year, there are many joys to be experienced, but let us not forget the most amazing joy that we could ever have, the joy of having God with us, Emmanuel. Because Jesus came and restored our relationship so that we could be with God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the unexpected joys that you give us. We thank you for the unexpected joy that Elizabeth and Zechariah had all those many years ago. And we pray that as John was able to prepare the way to Jesus, we too would be able to prepare other people to coming and knowing you. And Lord, help us to draw closer and closer to you every moment because of the joy of being in your presence. Amen.